Ooh, yeah, this is the Macho Man Randy Savage, and you're listening to the Rock Paper Podcast. Check it out at rockpaperpodcast.com. Yeah, dig it!
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Excited to welcome Music Record Shop on sponsoring the Rock Paper Podcast. Go down and check them out, 4191A Manchester Avenue in the Grove, right between the demo and the ready room. Official store hours are Tuesday through Sunday, 12 p.m. to 8 p.m. They do a new music happy hour every Friday. Go down and get yourself some new music. They've got a great local selection. They have also a CD, vinyl, and some tapes. So go pick up some new music. Support local. MusicRecordShop.com.
Hey, we're Midnight Hour.
And you're listening to Rock Paper Podcast.
On the internet.
She lays alone in darkness.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, episode 108.
Woo! 108.
I took a little drive down to beautiful Cuba, Missouri to hang out with the guys of Midnight Hour. Welcome to the show, guys.
Welcome to the home of the largest rocker.
Yeah.
That's rocking welcome. Chair.
Yeah, rocking chair.
Thanks for having
chair.
Us, man.
Yeah, I guess probably good to go around the room first before we get going too far. And you guys all want to introduce yourself so everybody knows your voices.
Yeah, I'm Zach. I'm the lead singer.
I'm Josh. I play guitar.
Yeah, I'm Larry, and I also play guitar.
I'm Miguel. I play bass guitar.
And our drummer, Mike, is OMW. He'll BRB.
He's on his way.
Yeah. Hopefully.
All right. Miguel is the new guy, right?
Yeah. I recently joined Midnight Hour.
Yeah. So it was July, I guess. Something like that.
It was last month. About a month. He's been with us now.
Yeah, that would have been July.
Yep. Yeah, man. So this show coming up September 4th will be your
This is my first show with the guys and. Playing for a big band, definitely excited.
Yeah, man.
It's a big opportunity.
It's going to be exciting. Yeah, so these guys got a big show coming up at Pops in Sauget, Illinois, with Mushroom Head, Head PE.
A couple other nationals, and then I can't remember their names.
Yeah, actually, go to my notes. I'm prepared here.
And we've got Discrepancies.
Yeah, Discrepancies, local guys. Scare, Don't Fear, and Unsaid Fate.
Right.
So,
I'm not sure who they are, but they are on the tour with the.
Yeah. Guys,
so check them out.
Must be all right.
So, what, you guys ever seen Mushroom Head and Head PE?
We played with Head PE down in Springfield.
It was actually like 3 years ago yesterday, maybe?
Really? So, yeah, we played with Head PE.
Kind of on my time hop.
But I've never seen Mushroom Head play before.
Right.
Yeah, I'm ashamed as a metaler to say this, but I've only ever checked out like one song by Mushroom Head, and it was fucking weird.
Yeah. I've never listened to like their, you know, studio stuff, but my friends XS714 opened a bunch of those head to head tours, so I went to go see them play a lot with them, and I love Head PE. I've been following those guys for a long time, I saw Mushroom Head a couple of times on those head to head tours, and it's one of the craziest live shows I've ever seen.
Really?
Like, it is intense, and
it's pretty crazy.
It's almost like a Blue Man Group shit, man. Like, they got the the drums up in the front, the two like lead singers that look like twins. You know, they got the mask on and stuff, and then they put like at least this is what the show used to be. Hopefully they still doing this. I haven't seen them in a couple of years now, but they throw like lights underneath these big drums, and then they got like paint and shit on them, and then they like hitting and, you know, stuff flying up. It's just like,
that's gonna be fun for the Pops crew to
So it's a lot of fun to watch, and it sounds good. I mean, all the, you know, a lot of drums and they're a little heavier than my taste, really, but it's when you're that, you know, visually, like, it's makes it, you know,
it's cool.
I heard something like somebody like described them as like they'd be a really great band to go watch on mushrooms.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I guess. I mean, that makes sense. What the fucking right. band is, but very like a very good psychedelic show.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. There's some bands like that. Like, my buddy's real big into Phish, and you know, I imagine there's a lot of people under the influence when you go to a Phish show. And he gave me a CD of, like, you know, he made me a mix CD. He wanted to introduce me to Phish, and I'm listening to it, and I'm like, I don't get it, man.
Yeah.
I'm like,
take some of this and you will.
Yeah, right. I was 100% sober listening to it, and I'm like, this, I don't know. I don't know about this. Right.
Some music you just can't listen to sober.
Right.
Just can't. Luckily, we're not that kind of music.
Yeah.
Some people.
But it's all right in between.
But Head PE, those guys been killing it for years. I've always a good time to see them, and I love that Jared, he'll do everything up on the stage, and then he gets off and he sells all the shirts and signs everything, mm-hmm. and like mm-hmm. you know, he knows that the fans are the ones paying his bills, and mm-hmm. he, you know, really appreciates everything. So mm-hmm. It's rare to see sometimes, but they, you know, like especially for a guy that's been doing it, but he, you know, yeah, it's nice to see that
they put on a good show. They sound good too. I mean, yeah. from the time we played with them, we played them at the Outland, which is kind of a smaller venue down in Springfield, but it was a good time. They sounded good.
Yeah, I've. A little bit ago, I saw him at Mad Magician with Nonpoint, and it was a pretty good time.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nonpoint, I've always wanted to see them.
Yeah, it was my first time seeing them. They put on a good show, man. A lot of, and there was another band from
from somewhere.
I forget the name. It's Fire from the Gods or something like that. Something like that.
Yeah, they're from Texas.
Yeah. They were, I didn't know who they were at all. They came out and they blew me away. I was like, man, these guys are badass. Like, mm-hmm.
So. My buddy Michael Meyer, he's friends with them.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm. He's telling, they're actually playing up on like September 5th up at FUBAR, I believe. Yeah, some big metal fest.
Yeah. Cool. I'll have to keep an eye on that one.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I was, listening to some tunes on the way down, and listened to the Dark Passenger mm-hmm. album on the way down, and so I don't know. Like for me, it's you guys are a little heavier than my taste. Like I really liked a couple. There was I do well. I really like is Back to Life.
Mm-hmm. That's our newest. That's our newest single, release. Yeah.
And it reminds me. I like the singing more. I do like. When the growling and stuff is mixed in there sometimes. Mm-hmm.
That album, I don't know if you saw us with our, we had a different singer.
Right.
And that whole album is recorded with him in it. Like Back to Life, that's the kind of the new direction.
Yeah.
Because we're the same. We want more singing. We get tired of the same old screaming, you know, sure. over and over again. And not to say that we don't like that or that kind of music. Because we still have that, but we like to be a little bit diverse and be able to do different things too.
Yeah, I know you guys were in the middle of gone through some lineup change and stuff. And, mm-hmm. The Back to Life though reminds me like of I was thinking like Killswitch Engaged, like how they kind of mix the vocals like that and stuff too. Like I thought
you were gonna say Celine Dion.
Oh yeah, right, yeah. Definitely some Celine Dion in there. Yeah. But that like My Last Serenade and stuff. Mm-hmm. Like that's one of my favorite. Like
song rocks.
Yeah.
It's one of my. It's not. That song is not the most challenging. You know that we ever wrote, mm-hmm. people are gonna listen to that and wow, you know these guys can write crazy music that I can never play. But it's one of my favorites that we've written because it's to me as a song as a whole, not just the guitar, just the drums, but with everything. I think it's our most well-rounded song. I think.
Yeah, it's a great tune, man. And what you guys have it for free right now?
Mm, yeah, on, you, yeah. If you go to our Bandcamp site, download it for free right now. We just want people to listen to our music. Yeah. We don't really care about the 99 cents we get for it. We just want people to listen to it.
We're not really looking to get paid.
We just want you guys to come out to our shows, you know, check us out. We like to pride ourselves on a live show kind of band, you know, because that's really where the money comes from anymore, you know, coming out to shows, check us out what we actually do.
Sure.
You know, not what they can fix in a studio.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, I saw you guys pretty recently. Up at Pops a while ago.
It was the Ink Spot Showcase number 1?
Yeah.
That was the last time we played up
there. That was a fun show.
That was like June or something, right?
Yeah, we haven't played a show in a couple months.
I think we were just talking about it earlier. The last show we played was the last show with the Mad Magician.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And then the Pop show before that was, I guess, where you saw us for the Ink Spot deal.
But yeah, you guys definitely bring energy to the stage, like you said, your live show. Like it's that's what's fun to see. Like you said,
that's our whole thing. Is because we got tired of seeing the bands that that, you know, where you would rather just listen to them and not watch them, you know, just kind of boring.
Sure.
So we try and be exciting. And now with our, now that Zach can sing and not have to be held down, you know, to a mic,
yeah,
playing his bass and everything, we're excited to take it up a few more notches.
Yeah.
He's a little bit of an acrobat.
I like to flip.
Right.
Well, yeah, he was a cheerleader in high school.
Yeah, I was. Yeah.
I tried to church it up a little
Let's
bit.
Just put it on the fucking table, guys.
Don't try to church it up, boy. Don't it dirty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was nice looking up girls' skirts.
Hey, yo.
I thought I was the smart one.
I mean, some of those guys, you know, get full ride scholarships to college and stuff just doing male cheerleading. Mm. So it's a...
I turned it down for metal.
Yeah. So I was going to ask, like, you know, we kind of been talking a bit, but like, how'd you guys all come together to form this band? I mean,
been a longer journey, I guess, more for me than anybody. But it's been six years. I joined up with a group of guys. And none of them are in this room.
Yeah.
This used to be an Owensville-based band.
Yeah. So I joined up with them, and all we did, we played covers. I mean, we had a handful, a small handful. You know, we started learning covers. The band started out as a cover band around this area. We just played bars, you know, here and there, and we had a pretty big set of covers. But anyways, we got tired of doing that stuff, or I did at least.
Yeah.
So I said, we're gonna start writing some original music. So I started writing some original music, and Michael joined up just a couple months after that. So, you know, he's been doing it for about the whole time. And then, you know, we did that for a little bit. We really got rid of the covers in, like, 2010, I think, and went all original.
Yeah.
And then we played for about a year here and there up at Pops and different places. And then Josh joined up on guitar, and our old guitar went to singing.
Mm-hmm.
So we played that way for a little bit, and then Zach joined on bass, you know, just bass and some backup vocals. And then a little bit after that, here just a year ago, whatever, Zach moved to singing, and now that we have Miguel, so
yeah.
But all of the music that we have recorded, or we have two EPs out, Into the Night that we did in 2012.
That was
2012, right, and then we did Dark Passenger in 2014, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But all those were done with this lineup. Like, well, Zach wasn't a part of the first EP, but the Dark Passenger though was recorded with us and Michael. Obviously not Miguel because he just joined a month ago. But
and Patrick on vocals.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's pretty cool. You guys got some. In that timeline, though, you guys had some early success then with you guys done a couple Point Fest.
Yeah, I think that kind of started. We did the Ho-Ho Show battle, which they haven't done that for a little bit now, but in 2011 we did that and we won. So we got to do the Ho-Ho Show up at the pageant, which was a cool deal. We played a Switchfoot. Our music was a lot lighter back then, especially too, so it fit in a little bit more with the Switchfoot kind of sound. And then that also got us on the first Point Fest we played in the summer of 2012. And then we won another thing later on, another battle a couple years later where we played Point Fest. And
it was the beard battle.
Yeah. Did that. So we played that. And
that was a fun show for sure.
We played some cool shows.
Yeah.
Going to play another cool one September 4th.
Yeah.
Yep.
Be there.
I'm expecting it to be a pretty big show because we've been selling a lot of tickets. Sold like six.
Yeah.
No. I sold one, so we've got at least seven.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, seven.
Okay. We're on it.
Yeah. I was just talking to Shamans the other night, Nate and Josh from Shamans Harvest, and I was kind of talking about some of the big shows that they've done and these big crowds, and he's like, yeah, but there's a lot of them, you know, you don't see that are like five people in the crowd, and mm-hmm. and he's like, and he was, we're promoting, they're coming to town September 11th playing the Duck Room at Blueberry Hill, and
And he's like, man, if there's eight people there, I'm gonna be pretty excited, or something like that. And I'm like, he's like, I'm holding you responsible, so I got to bring eight people to the, seven yeah. people, I guess. So.
What day is that on?
It's Friday, September 11th.
Mm.
But,
I just, one of those eight people.
Yeah.
So, saw those guys back. They played in, I've seen them a couple times, I guess, but they played, in Rolla at one of the St. Patrick show with Story of the Year, I think, and
Bands,
but they always put on a good show, though.
Yeah, for sure. I was down this way. I think it was Rolla, or maybe it was even Springfield. Anyway, they did like an acoustic set down here with Fivefold.
Yeah,
that would have been in Rolla.
Yeah.
Yep.
And it was awesome, man.
Was it?
I mean, I love acoustic music, but just to see those guys. There you go. Hey.
That's our new single.
That was it. Next song.
Next song.
A little taste of it.
Yeah. I was going to ask about the Royals cover because that's like almost like 24,000 hits on YouTube or something.
We're up to like 60,000, I think. Actually,
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's two videos.
Oh, okay.
For some reason, the first video that pops up is a repost that Metal Worldwide or something reposted, and so there's a 20. But we got like 50,000 on the original post. I don't know why that happens, but that was a fun thing to do, though. We did that, mix it in with our other, when we recorded Dark Passenger.
About the last 5 years, you know, Pop Goes Punk has gotten real popular, you know, people love that poppy music, but a lot of them want to hear real drums behind it and stuff, you know, so we just figured we might get our own taste into it.
It was an easy song, too. I mean, well, I say easy, but, it took a little bit, but it there's no music to the song, you know, the original song, there's like some low keyboard or something that goes through a couple chords, but... So we had the freedom to pretty much write whatever we wanted behind it.
Sure.
I mean, those riffs and everything, that could have been our own song if we wanted to and just put different words behind it, you know, because it doesn't really have anything at all to do with the original song.
Right.
Kind of follows that same key, though, and the same changes, but...
Yeah, it's essentially almost like an a cappella song, like the original recording of it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there's very little instrumentation to it.
This song's kind of become the bane of the band, though. Yeah. You know, everybody wants to hear Royals.
Yeah.
We're like, we have songs that we actually wrote
that
we would not mind to show you.
I think I think that's like with anything, though. Like, I mean, you hear like a band's like, you know, like Extreme with More Than Words.
Oh,
like, you know, they wrote this, you know, really catchy acoustic song, love ballad kind of thing, and it went huge, you know, and everybody wants to hear it, but they can't stand it. They don't want to play the song. They, you know, it's like, it's that kind of thing, like, or you can go the opposite approach, like where, one of my favorites is like Sugar Ray, like they were like real heavy when they came out, and then they did that Fly song, and that was like a huge hit for them, and then like, so the next album sounded, everything just sounded like Fly, like they, you know. So
they just wanted music that would get noticed. Well, it's not a bad thing to do. I mean, if you like playing music and you want to do it for a living, you better write some catchy stuff.
Yeah, well, I like that they wrote the next album was titled 1459 because their 15 minutes of fame was almost up.
So. Oh man, that's so clever.
Yeah, I thought that was. Well, I mean, like I like that they were self aware. Like they knew.
Yeah.
You know, we're gonna ride this out as long as we can. But who, you know. But yeah. So it's kind of like it kind of stinks when you have that, you know, popular thing, but it's not really something truly represents the band or anything. But you know.
I think you know, I mean, like I said, that song, the music behind it is all original because I'm not upset about it at all. I think, I mean, the words obviously aren't ours, but I don't know.
We had a lot of fun shooting that video, though.
Yeah.
We actually got pretty drunk. not real, like, we weren't actually trying to.
Oh, Patrick Lawrence.
Okay, now drink some more Grey Goose. I got to get another shot.
Yeah.
By the end of it, we're like, who's driving home? You know?
Patrick's been doing some really great videos, man.
He's awesome. You won't find anybody better, not around here, although he lives in LA now, so you guess he will.
and he's, When he's doing that stuff with
Turnpikes
yeah. and tattoos and turnpikes.
I'm anxious to see that.
Yeah,
you know, because he does really good work.
Yeah, yeah, I'm excited. That little teaser trailer thing they put out was looked really good. And then I was just up there at Inkspot for the I guess the last episode. They were going to film all that for the last one, so the actual block party. So that's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, so what else did I write down here?
This guy's smart. He has notes, okay?
Hey, I try to prepare a little bit. I like to, you know, you think by 108 I would somewhat get my shit together.
True.
I was listening to, on the way down, like I said, and I went to...
That's a drive.
Yeah, well, yeah. You know, it's a pretty good little haul. You know, there's plenty of... scenery, you know.
yeah, a lot of dark and a lot of more dark.
but I was thinking of the listening to it, you know, you guys, some of that stuff was pretty heavy. And I was thinking of like that scene in Ace Ventura when you guys remember that? When
yeah.
he's like
Cannibal Corpse is playing.
Yeah, right. They're up there just, you know, they just start headbanging, bouncing around. And they're like,
I wish Jim Carrey would get a hold of our music. Yeah. He'd probably like it.
Is Dave here?
Yeah.
Thank you.
I was just quoting that the other night to the, you know, what's the password? New England clam chowder. Is that the white or the red?
Oh, I can never remember that.
That's his arm. Yeah. but yeah, that's what I was thinking. Just like they're up there just, you know, dun, 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 and you guys, that's what I was. That's where my brain goes. I got a lot of weird stuff up there. So.
I can honestly say we've never been compared to Cannibal Corpse, yeah. But that is a compliment.
Hey, there you go, man.
Those guys are crazy.
Yeah. So where were they somebody you guys, you know, listened to growing up? Who was, like, these big influences you guys?
I mean, we all listen to a lot of different music. We all listen to probably about the same kind of music, but a lot of different genres. And so, I mean, I'll listen to anything. I like metal. I like...
Me and Larry are pretty big Alan Jackson fans.
Yeah. We like country.
Exactly.
I mean,
Garth Brooks, sure about baby. Miguel.
I like the singing, screaming stuff.
Yeah.
Garth Brooks saw him back in December.
I was there.
You were there?
Garth, yeah.
Which one of the four shows?
yeah, I don't even remember what night it was, but yeah, I took my wife one day. She's a huge... Garth Brooks fan, and I also went with her to see Shania Twain.
Oh man!
Recently,
whoa, was that a good show?
I was honestly pretty disappointed. Like,
with Shania Twain or Garth Brooks?
With Shania, like the Garth Brooks show was a lot of fun. It was, you know, the only thing that really bothered me with Garth's show is like you could tell that he was like out of shape and like you know, and instead of like. Because, you know, he'd run around and then he'd be like, and then he's like, and he would just sit there, like, looking up at the crowd, like, wow, look at, you know, and then everybody would just, like, give him, like, a standing ovation and cheer and clap for, like, 15 minutes until he caught his breath, and then he'd go into the next song. So it was like, it was cool, like, if they did, like, once, you know, like, hey, you know, we love you, and then it's like, but the fact that, like, it kept happening over and over, it's like, okay, dude, we get it, like, you know, you're just milking it right now, But, I mean, it was a really great show, though, for a guy that, you know, hadn't been doing it for a while and came back out, and it was a lot of fun. But with Shania's show, man, it was, I was really disappointed for production value. Like, I was, like, I mean, tickets were pretty expensive, and it was in the Chaffetz Arena there, or Scott Trade Arena. And some of the backdrop stuff she had on there was like looked like word art, you know, or stuff like it was just like
she really got a PowerPoint.
Yeah, it was just really cheap looking graphics and stuff back there and thing and there was a during like Don't Impress Me Much, which you know like was a bigger song, but like you'd think it would be something kind of cool back there, and like there was like these two cats, like jaguars or something, like walking, and they would look at each other, and then like it was just like this little like you know loop kind of thing, and I was like, man, this is awful. Like what? And then I don't know, just like stuff like that. And then like there was she did like three costume changes, and then every time she left the stage, like the band would just jam for like 5 minutes as she was changing and stuff, which was, you know, fine.
Which was the best part of it.
Yeah. Like, but like they're playing, and it's like you think like there'd be something going on besides just this band playing an instrumental for a while. But,
yeah.
Because like you know, like they didn't. You think like they. She was, you know, big in the 90s when music videos were the thing to be. And, like, so she had all these great videos. You think that they would have done some kind of something with the music videos up there or whatever. I don't know. Anyway.
The whole time you're just thinking, that don't impress me
right,
much.
Yeah. That don't impress me much.
That reminds me when I saw Snoop Dogg.
Oh, yeah?
Papa Roach.
What?
And he started screaming.
With Papa Roach?
And he just kept screaming the same line over and over. I guess he forgot.
He's like, I smoked 7 joints before this set.
A giant cloud around him, and he's screaming. I mean, like metal screaming.
Yeah, that's really weird.
Snoop lying over
switching
there.
Up nowadays.
I wasn't expecting Snoop Dogg to come out of your mouth. That's
No, I didn't even like know what screaming music was until I was like 13. Like one of my buddies like made like this mix CD and had some Under Oath on it. And I just remember the first time I heard the guy, rah, I was just like, what the fuck is this, yeah. You know? Like, this is awesome.
Did you see that they're coming to town?
I didn't know they were coming to our town.
Well, they're a St. Louis.
Yeah. We kind of consider ourselves a St. Louis band, you know.
Yeah, like, but it's like not till April or something, but yeah.
Oh, shit.
They announced the tour and stuff, so.
Well, damn.
But yeah, it's
early. Gonna have to try to buy tickets soon, because they'll sell out pretty fast.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
You know where they're playing at?
Pageant.
Oh, that'll be a fun show.
They're playing their I can't remember what two albums, but front to back, they said.
Yeah.
They said it'll be the longest show that they've ever played.
But yeah, I think it's March or April, something like that,
awesome.
Early next year.
Definitely going to go home and check that out.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah. I sent a link to a friend. She's been, because like, I guess there's been some stuff online with about their reunion or whatever tour and stuff. And then like the other day, I subscribed to... the pageant events on Facebook, and it popped up, and I sent it to her, and she's like, she said she's like, you know, sobbing like a little child, like she was just like so excited to go see him. But
pageants are a great place to see a show.
Oh, for sure,
one of my favorites, sound wise.
Yeah,
just
not a bad show in the house.
Yeah, it's it's set up to be a music venue. Mm-hmm. You know, it's all I don't know. It's just me and him saw a pretty awesome show there. What was that, last year?
It was a couple years ago.
Lamb of God and In Flames, there, and it, I mean, I've seen both of those bands before outside at like festivals and stuff, and it just seeing them at the pageant was like the best thing.
Yeah, Motorhead's gonna be in there in a little bit.
Really?
Yeah, that'd be
Motorhead.
It's gonna be outside. Loud show.
I saw them at Point Fest. Yeah,
it's gonna be pretty wild.
Yeah. The one that we played, or was it the one we played?
Might have been that 2-day Point Fest.
Yeah,
that they had a couple of years ago.
Yeah, I think that's when we saw.
It's Motorhead. What's Saxon and and Crobot? So,
Crobot.
Yeah.
Crobot.
You guys know them yet?
Couldn't tell you the last time I heard the name Crobot.
They're fantastic, man. I really like those guys a lot. Mm-hmm. I saw them at Foo Bar one night. They came through and it was just loud as shit in there, man.
It's always loud.
Yeah, man. It's so loud in there.
Yeah, I really like small venues like that, though, because it doesn't matter where you are in the house, you get a nice view of the bands that are playing.
Yeah, we kind of talked a bit off mic, but he's saying he went to go see Foo Fighters, and like, there's very little I ever go to Verizon anymore and sit in the grass, because it's just, I've been to so many good shows in a small club setting, so it's hard for me to go sit and watch the screen, and unless I splurge and get the, you know, seats up front and stuff, but...
We went to the Slipknot show last Sunday, and Zach's sister had someone bail on her, and we found out when we got up there, so she had an extra ticket, and it was like, what, like how many rows behind the pit?
We were like 5 rows behind the pit. So
we had lawn seats, so we were just like trading the ticket out, just going around, going up there for a few songs, coming back, giving it to somebody else, and you know, so everyone kind of got a little taste of up front.
Nice.
Yeah, it was great. That was a really, really fantastic show.
Yeah. I had a buddy, we went to Point Fest one year, and he won pit upgrade like when we got there, and like it was the year, like one of the years that Chevelle was up there.
Nice.
And like they were about the only one that I really cared to like go see in the pit. So like I and I was with my wife, my now wife. Mm-hmm. So I didn't want to like leave her the whole time back there by herself and just go to the pit. So I went up there during Chevelle's set though, and it was pretty awesome being up there that close. And
yeah, I like Chevelle. So, for three dudes, they're real tight. And they make a lot of noise.
Yeah, definitely.
Were you with us when we saw them and it rained?
I was there for Janice.
Oh, that's right. You left.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, had to get back.
Whatever happened to Janice?
I don't know. Janice was cool.
They had a problem with her like management and stuff, and because they were recording a new album and something fell through, and then I think they just kind of quit.
I still rocked her shirt.
Yeah, that was kind of what we just said earlier about the Ink Spot block party. I was up there. That was Copperview came back to play one there, and that was like their last one, last hurrah. And but they've been on, you know, hiatus, I guess, for last 3 years or something. Yeah. But they kicked it. They kicked ass, man. That was
they played. I remember seeing those guys. The first Point Fest I ever went to, they played on when they used to have the pop stages, whatever. Right when you walked in the gates there, they used to have it right there. And I saw those guys play there. I seen them a couple of years there actually. And I remember each year I'd see them, they'd get better. They'd be better than the year they were before. And they turned into a band that I actually liked quite a bit. Right. And then they just quit playing music.
But I think they had a similar problem. Like they signed some kind of deal and they got real screwed over or something. Singer mentioned it on stage about it, and I guess they have a second album recorded, but they never released it. And he's like, he's telling people to go steal it offline and stuff because they didn't want anybody paying for it and thing, you know, like all this stuff. Like, it came off a little bitter, but I mean, I'm sure if you got screwed and it ruined the band and everything else, like I'd probably be bitter too. So, I don't know. That's kind of like I've talked to some people, and like, you know, these guys have signed these deals and they've went on and toured the world and all this stuff, and like it's cool, but then they also really enjoy just playing here at home and doing this stuff, you know, having a family here and playing shows and stuff and doing that too, because you know, because you can still make money doing that. Like, it just seems like that's definitely the more of the way to go now, is the more independent, you know, DIY kind of route. And
a lot of these bands it gets a little annoying though after a little bit, but they'll do the Kickstarter, the GoFundMe thing, and which is a good idea for bands and stuff, as long as you're not doing it for every little thing you need.
Yeah.
Need some gas in my van or whatever. But it's a good, you know, if you already have a fan base there, if you're already an established band, just have your fans fund you. You know, it's worked for a lot of people, and it's a lot better than having these management companies or labels or whatever pay for your stuff, because you're going to lose money that way, you know. Music is all about money. If you're not playing music for money, then you just need to go home.
Right. Get on out. Just get the F out.
Go hunting.
I was going to add, you mentioned you didn't learn about Under Oath and the screaming and stuff till like 13, but like, well, where does that like come from? I mean, how do you learn you can do that kind of stuff?
Well, shortly after I listened to Under Oath, I was like, this is kind of intense, but like I really started getting into Breaking Benjamin really hard, and he had like this, some of the songs he'd do a little growl in it, you know, and I remember I'd walk around my house, and I would be like cleaning up my house, you know, for my mom or whatever, and I'd be doing that to myself, and she would stop that shit. But it went from like Breaking Benjamin to like Bullet for My Valentine, where they did a little more back and forth of it, you know. And then I got into the really heavy shit, like
got a little dark.
The absence
Conducting from the Grave.
Hey, that's a really good band.
I didn't say it wasn't.
No, but I don't know. Just kind of happened. Yeah. I guess it took several years.
Yeah, it takes. It was the same way for me, because you know, when I got into music, I started out. I mean, I still classic rock was, you know, Led Zeppelin, stuff like that, like the generic stuff that I guess people that play guitar get into. And you know, I still like all those bands just as much, but it was like, then I'd start getting into like some 80s bands, you know, some Metallica stuff that's a little bit heavier, you know. I mean, when I first started listening to that, I was like, Metallica, that's heavy, you know, when I was a kid. And then you start listening to some heavier stuff like Bullet for My Valentine, Killswitch type stuff. And then when your big boy pants get put on, you start listening to some Lamb of God. And then at that point, you got your fingernails 3 inches long and you paint them black every day. That's what I got in a phase with. I wasn't into like screaming type stuff. But I think you just you start looking for something different, you know. That's how it was for me. Sure. I just want, you know, I like still appreciate all that other stuff, but I want to hear something different. Yeah. And there's a certain type of screaming that I can't stand, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't like to listen to screaming. If I don't know what he's saying, I don't care to listen to it. Because, I mean, what's the point? That's just how I feel. And there's some band, you know, some guys can enunciate, I guess, really well, more so than others. And
yeah, that's one thing I really started, like, taking seriously because, you know, everybody's beef with screaming is like, I don't know what they're saying.
All right.
So I was in a choir class and stuff in high school. So like I had vocal lessons and everything, and I hit the enunciation really hard. So like that's one thing that I really really try to do is make sure that when people are listening to me, they know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You know, but that also goes back into, that's why we're pulling out of the screaming so much too. You know, because we want people to be able to follow our music and know what the song is about other than just hearing the music.
I believe that it takes more talent to sing, to pull off singing than it does to scream because a lot of guys have a scream that they can do. You know, not everyone is worth listening to, but I think Zach has a great scream.
Yeah.
And so that's why we're not going to get rid of it completely, but we do want to... We're gonna start singing quite a bit more. Though.
Yeah. I was thinking listen to Stern's show, and he's got Richard Christie on his show, and Richard Christie drums for Iced Earth and stuff, and he was telling about K9 that actually has like a pit bull lead singer or something like that.
What? I thought I seen something about that.
got a little visitor.
We just got pussy.
That's our new practice cat. Showed up the other day.
He comes and visits every now and then.
Come here, kitty.
he was saying, I don't know.
Literally like a dog that...
Yeah, like the... I mean, I don't know. I guess it's just a studio band because I don't know how you...
You're talking about the rapper.
I got a real dog, just like
an actual dog.
Yeah, it's just like, so that's all their vocals.
I wonder if they like poke the dog while it's piss it
give
off.
Give him a treat.
maybe they hang a cat
poke him with a hot iron.
Window.
Yeah. Fido don't need auto tune.
Yeah. But I mean, that's what I like. I mean, if you can exchange a dog's growling and a human growling, and like, I mean, that's a pretty good deal. Like, you can just give the dog a couple of treats and
save the boy.
Save your cut of the money, yeah.
Good joke.
But I don't know, like, I was thinking, like, you know, to do that, like, it's kind of, I have a hard, like, you know, I'll be jamming my 90s on 9 on the, you know, cruising down the road, and I'm trying to sing along with the radio when I'm, you know, trying to hit some, you know, Mariah Carey notes and whatever. But even that, like, I start, like, coughing. Like, you know, I'm not trained, obviously. You guys would do it a lot more than I do. But for me, like, I'll start, like, you know, coughing, just trying to sing along with that and things. Mm-hmm. And, like, I imagine, like, if I ever try to growl and scream like that, like, I wouldn't, you know, there's no way I could do that stuff.
Yeah, luckily, these guys, like, they play in tunings that kind of accentuate what my range is, you know, so it's a lot easier to do, but yeah, that's why we're pulling the screaming back, because like if we ever were to get to a point where we got to tour around, you know, like just doing it over and over and over, eventually eventually you're gonna sound like crap, and I want to be as close to what you hear recorded when we play as possible, you know.
I think that's probably a really good idea for the longevity of the band, you know, like you hear about those guys that, you know, they blow out their voice and then they gotta cancel a set of dates and all this stuff. And
you piss your fans off doing that. That's the last thing we want to do is piss off our 12 fans.
Yeah, right. We need them. We need.
Hi, Mom.
I wasn't going to tell him that.
Yeah. So, yeah, you guys were, we were saying a little bit, but you guys are looking to get some more new tunes out there, right?
Yeah, well, we've been writing new stuff for, we have a group of new songs that we've had for a while, you know, still kind of going over things and making things better, but we should be back in the studio within the next month or two, go back to recording stuff, but we've decided on doing, you know, we've been doing something a little differently, you know, we did the two EPs right off the bat, but we're just going to go in and record singles. We'll record a song, release it, you know, go back in there and record another song instead of, and it might be kind of annoying, you know, to some, but we would rather have like a steady stream of content being released than just a CD and then wait 2 years before we do it again. Yeah. And it also lets us kind of decide what we want to do, you know, as far, you know, because each of our songs are a little bit different, not extremes, you know, they're in the same genre, but they don't sound the same. So it might not really make sense for it all to be on one CD, but I think it'll be cool to release things separately, you know, just give people stuff to listen to. And
it's just so damn expensive.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been talking to a couple of groups, and they were talking about how, like, they've been looking to do, like, kind of like a single a month, and then, like, so you put out 12 tracks, and then...
And then put them on a CD afterwards.
Yeah, yeah, and then sell that as a whole. So kind of a... So there's not... I mean, there's, you know... I think it's pros and cons to any way you're going to do it, but yeah.
Yeah.
But I think that's a good, like, with people, you know, with today, I think that's probably a really good idea to keep hitting them with fresh new music all the time.
And with downloads and stuff, you know, people
they get bored so easily.
How, you know, where can you even find a CD? Where can you buy a CD at anymore? Right. It's, you know, there are not too many places. You have to go into a Best Buy or an actual music store to find a CD. People, it's so easy to go on your phone, go to a website and download the song that you like. You don't even have to download all 12 or 10 songs. Yeah. You just download that one song. So that's another thing, you know, we kind of took into consideration that just doing the singles, you know, and push those hard, you know, try and get people to listen to them, because there's a lot of people that'll just, they'll just scroll over, you know, but if you keep pushing it, eventually they're going to listen to it because they're annoyed, if nothing else. But
break them down.
Yeah.
That's right.
But that's just kind of, I don't know, music is a lot, I mean, I didn't write or release music in the early 2000s or 90s, but I know that it's a lot different, you know, with
a
digital. Maybe. So,
where you guys record at?
Shock City Studios up in off of Grand and Jefferson, whatever.
Gravelly.
Oh, well, yeah, whatever. Sorry, Luke. No, it's a. I mean, have you ever been there?
No, I haven't been in
it's
there.
It's a. I mean, you won't find a better studio in there. It's.
Is that where?
It shares a parking lot with Hodax.
Yeah.
Don't go to Hodax, though.
Oh yeah. Apparently, it's. I don't know.
No, the old keyboardist for Gravity Kills owns that studio.
Oh yeah.
Doug Furley.
Yeah.
But, hey, Doug.
But that's where Patrick Lawrence kind of used to operate out of before he. Went to L.A., and then they also have, like, a gymnastics bumper shoot place there, I think is what it's called, which is nice because you'll see girls in yoga pants.
Yeah.
There was something right there. I went to I was invited to be a guest on the John and Kane show.
Yeah, that's what Chuck said.
Yeah.
All
right, it's in one of the rooms that there, but
I'm pretty sure it was the same place. But so I never actually, you know, I've only been in there for that. I went to their room, their studio where they do their show out of, and
we've recorded at a few studios. We recorded at Jupiter a while back. You know, I'm sure you've heard of that, at least off of where was it? That's off of our right by Fubar there. It's been around for a while, but I mean, nothing compares to Shock City. It's a professional studio.
Yeah, for sure.
And I mean, I know they're a lot of
let you get your own drinks there.
Yeah.
They make you sit in the room, and they walk upstairs to their nice monster cooler, and they grab your drink for you.
Yeah,
they got a Keurig there.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We like coffee a lot.
But,
you were asking about Royals earlier. That's actually where we shot the Royals video. It was in the live room and the control room A, those two rooms there.
Oh, okay.
So.
Mm. Right on.
Yeah.
Didn't you say somebody limped too?
Yeah, we recorded our Slaves music video, the most recent video. We shot that at the basement. Patrick Lawrence did that again for us. But that was a full day of music video shooting. It was a really fun time, really dirty time.
Oh yeah, we rolled around on the floor.
Rolling the floor.
Got to have that authentic look, you know.
That was a good time.
There was people smearing blood on the walls. Patrick Lawrence had guys running around. Just, I don't know, made you feel like you were important for 10 hours.
Sorry, we got the pussy screaming.
I thought it was funny earlier. I forget what you said, but the cat like put its paw right by your face, like you watch your mouth. Yeah.
She likes the beard.
Every band needs a kitty.
Yeah.
See you later.
But yeah, so what do you guys consider your greatest achievement so far as in your time together? Is it PointFest or
PointFest? Those are always a lot of fun, but at the same time, it's kind of you're always like stuff is quick. You're squeezed for time, kind of. I mean, you have all day to do whatever you want until it's time to play. But when it's time to play, you get stuff up there.
Yeah, you get 20 minutes and get off
and crunch. And you don't really have a sound check there. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, but still, it's still a great time. But I think my favorite shows have been our CD releases, the two that we did. Just because, you know, it was kind of our show to do what we wanted and how we wanted.
Yeah.
And,
those are your people there. You
and
know,
they, you know, we had
support you.
Really awesome turnouts, you know, for both shows.
That actually was like the last CD release party that we did for the Dark Passenger EP. It was kind of the first show that we had gotten some feedback from other bands that we needed to start playing the click track. So, like, we have, like, backing tracks and stuff that we played in a lot of those songs.
Yeah.
And that was, like, the first show that we, you know, showed everyone this is what we do now. And it was really fun, really cool to see people's faces. You know, like, you guys really are tight now. You know?
Yeah.
But I would say our biggest achievement from the fans' perspective, I guess, would probably be the Royals track and the video that we shot. Because, you know, it's been seen around the world by thousands of people. Pretty cool.
Yeah.
I think in my eyes, our greatest achievement is that...
Sorry.
That $17.48 check that we got.
Yeah.
Yeah. About a year ago, we got our first royalty check for $17 and some change.
Yeah.
And it's still sitting in my drawer, and it's expired, and we can't even cash it. But it's all right. We're going to hang it up on a wall. It's
a milestone.
It's a milestone. It brings back great memories.
Mm-hmm. You making any money off that YouTube video?
No. Mm-hmm. I didn't even bother to monetize that, just seeing as it was a cover.
Yeah.
And I don't want to get into any sort of legal issues over.
Lord made enough money off
over
an
amount
name,
of,
so.
You know, it might add up to $5 because you really have to get millions of views before you start seeing an actual noticeable amount. And even, you know, even $100 off a video, if you can even reach that amount. You split that 5 ways, and you know.
Gas for the week.
Yeah.
My buddy Chris, who I used to do the show with, he has a YouTube video. And it's this, it's just him, like, recording his TV, but it was at a Cardinals, watching the Cardinals game, and Albert Pujols hit a home run, and this kid in the audience, or in the stands, like, got hit in the shoulder by the ball.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just like, Chris, like, it was like slow motion on his DVR, and like as watching this kid's like facial expression, like gets hit, and he's like, you know, it's all like, hey, crying and stuff, and it's like, it's so funny. But yeah, so like that video, he just passed like a million hits on it. So like
that's awesome.
So he's like, now he's starting to get a little bit of money off of that. Like,
Shit.
I mean, not much, but like you said, it's pennies, but it's like, you know, it's something just for having your video on YouTube, and
they
start selling advertising on it and stuff like that.
If you can produce videos that get a lot of views like that, you know, you got to do more than one, but some of the people making the most money out there are YouTube video. I mean, yeah. People. So
I mean, yeah, there's people make a living off of it. So
you have to be creative and you have to be original, though. Because there's a lot of people doing it.
One day we'll get 400 million hits.
Yeah,
you know,
sure. We're almost there. yeah. Well, guys, look to wrap this thing up. Come out September 4th, Pops.
Also, if you feel like taking a road trip, October 16th, we're playing in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Yeah, forgot.
So, to any of you Oklahoma listeners, check us out.
How much? How often do you guys do like road gigs like that?
Once every probably 3 or 4 times a year. You know, it's not all the time, but we have a few places. We have a place in Kansas, Manhattan, Kansas, which is a cool little town, surprisingly, in Kansas.
And
we've done Chicago and stuff before, you know. We've been around, but I mean, it's
not very consistent. You know, this will be our first time in Oklahoma, but you know, we're really looking forward to it.
Yeah, I know. Kind of mentioned Fivefold earlier, and that's kind of they started doing like a kind of trading shows with guys in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and Kansas.
That's kind of how you have to. Yeah. That's kind of how you have to start. You know, hey, you get us on a show there, we'll get you on a show here. It's, you know, you got to do stuff like that. And a lot, you know, you're obviously not going to bring any people to the shows that you're playing there, but you're just hoping that the bands that are playing will bring in, you know, and then they'll like you.
And then
next time you go back, then you have some fans.
Sure. And you return the favor when they come to St. Louis.
It's about the only way the local scene works anymore. You know?
Yeah.
Give and take.
Yeah. Well, that's cool, yeah. So, or if you know any friends down in Tulsa, tell them to come out. Mm-hmm. Bring their party pants.
We like to party.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We like to party.
We are Midnight Hour, and we like to party.
My name's Rod, and I like to party. yeah. So what, put a couple of tracks on you guys, we want to put Back to Life on there, I guess, and,
let's do it.
Definitely rock Back to Life.
Yeah. Any other,
I guess put Slaves on there too, Slaves? So that they can, you know, follow that into the music video, check it out, you know.
Yeah, I'll put it all in there together, make it real pretty.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Well, guys, this has been a lot of fun.
Yeah, thanks for coming down.
Yeah,
for sure. Appreciate thanks you. For having us. This has been great.
Appreciate you taking some time to hang out with me. So, yeah, September 4th, Pops, Mushroom Head, Head PE,
Boom.
Midnight Hour, Boom. Discrepancies.
Some other bands.
And you guys have tickets. And
yeah, for sure. You can get them for us 25% off.
Yeah. Or if you choose to, they're online. But
or you can buy them the day of the show, but you don't want to do that because they will sell out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a badass rock show. Cool. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
They only want I've never seen a diamond in the flesh. I cut my teeth on wedding rings in the movies, and I'm not proud of my address. In a torn up town, no postcode and me.
On every storm, blood, cold, deep, drink, cold, living in the bathroom, blood stains, ball gown.
We don't care. We're driving Cadillacs in our dreams.
But everybody's like, let's down my back. Diving for your time, patient, blind island. Dark is not a goalie.
We don't care.
It will never be you!